With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hey, this is Mike with the Fin Fans Podcast. Each week we come to you, we bring you our opinions on what's going on within the Dolphins organization. We shoot straight, we don't BS anyone, and here we go.
And here we are again, Lewis.
Yes, we are. We're a duo tonight, not a trio, not a, what do you call four people?
Quartuplet, I don't know.
Quartuplet. Yeah, we're a duo tonight. Everybody else has abandoned us for the evening.
Yeah, so. We had something else scheduled for tonight, but we'll table that. It'll be fine another week.
Sure.
There's some things to talk about, Lewis. Ndamukong Suh admits he was a bit of a bad apple while here.
No.
I know, right?
Not him.
Yeah, him.
With his reputation, there's no way that guy could ever be a bad apple.
With all the money they paid him, I don't know how he could have been, but he wasn't happy. he had issues, and you know, he aired them, and he aired them directly, and maybe not with a lot of tact and self-reflecting, he realizes that he was basically a bad influence and alienated some teammates and what have you. Mm-hmm. And then when Gase came in, he didn't get along with Gase. And we all know how Gase is. You know, he's not easy to get along with from what we can tell.
Yeah, a lot of guys had problems with him over the couple of years he was here. I mean, that seemed to be an issue
and in
among
New York.
A lot of guys.
And
right?
In New York.
And so. In New York, right. Same situation. Absolutely. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
It is interesting. You know, I was always against that signing because of the amount of money involved. And, you know, they expected Sue to do things that he just was not capable of doing. And that was basically elevating the entire defense. And, you know, he was not – and Aaron Donald, who you know, just destroys offensive lines, you know. I mean, Sue's a great player, true, but he's not the type of player that's going to elevate the whole team. He's a good complementary piece, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, when they signed him, we were all excited about the signing, but, you know, people don't realize what comes from that type of signing.
I was not excited about that signing.
Right. Oh, but there were a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
I'm not saying you specifically, yeah. Mike, but yeah, there were a lot of people. I mean, I was in between on it. I mean, I loved the talent that we were getting. You know, he was going into his prime and he had that nasty ass attitude about him, you know, stepping on quarterbacks' heads, you know, that type of stuff. You know, we like that. You know,
as long as nobody's seriously hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think he ever seriously hurt anybody. But, you know, you hate that guy when he plays for the other team. But when he's playing for your team, that's when it's fun. You know, that's when you like to see guys. Like, if you're a Raider fan, you loved all that shit.
Well, we had Brian Cox. How do we feel about him?
Exactly. We love the guy. Plain and simple. You know, everybody likes those type of players as long as they're on your team. If they play against you, then you hate them.
Yep.
So once we got him, you know, I was excited about that. You know, the money situation I thought was like crazy.
Well, that's the part that turned me against the deal.
Right. I mean, you know, it sort of straps you. It doesn't allow you to.
It crushes your depth is what it does.
Exactly. And he's got to warrant that money, right? And he never did. You know, that's the bottom line. It was a mistake on our part. He came here. He wasn't overly productive. You know, he didn't do what we expected him to do. And, you know, I don't know what circumstances were in regard to his coaching staffs. You know, Gase, as we just mentioned, you know, had issues with a lot of different guys because he wanted things done his way. And, you know, Sue, according to that article that you're talking about, just didn't agree with their philosophies. And instead of maybe handling it in a different manner, he just shut it down, right? And just basically did whatever he wanted to do And I guess it took some guys on board, you know, that were on his side of the situation, and it creates divide. And we saw it, you know, we were looking at the defense and saying, they can't be that bad, can they? But they were. I mean, you know, I remember teams rushing. I remember a Detroit game specifically, Mike, where they came in here with an average team and ran for like 160 or 180 yards on us. It was insane. They ran all over us. And, you know, it was disappointing. Now we understand what the situation was. You had guys that were not on the same page. A complete contrast as to what we see now, you know, in regard to our defense and what we saw in regard to the production from our defense and a good coaching staff and everybody being on the same page and buying into what the coaches are selling. You know, what were we, top six, Mike? We were sixth in the NFL in defense last year.
And points against.
Points against. And that's all that really matters when it's all said and done, right? You know, is
as far as I'm concerned,
the amount of points that you're giving up. And to be sixth in a 32-team league, I mean, that's pretty damn good. And then you throw in the fact as to where we came from, even more so a positive thing. So with all that being said, you know, it is what it is. You know, that's a part of history, Dolphin history, that wasn't really a good situation, and we're past that. And hopefully you know, we'll have a even more solid season from our defense this year, which I'm expecting, and I think you are too.
The only thing that I fear, Lewis, is with the, you know, sending Van Noy out of here and Lawson out of here. You wonder if the defense doesn't start off fast, if some players won't be grumbling about that.
Right, and McCain. You know, another veteran. Yep. I mean, you did lose a few guys that have been in the league quite a bit. So there's three guys that are not going to be here. Now, Van Noy did miss a handful of games last year, and they were still pretty successful without him on the field. They did a pretty good job without him. I believe McCain missed a little bit of time too, didn't he, at some point? I'm not 100%
certain. Not that I recall, Lou.
I don't know. Well, he missed a few plays in a game, right? Let's go with that.
I'm sure he has.
So, well, the one game specifically when he was out for three plays and Kansas City burnt us on the long touchdown. But the thing is this, is that, yeah, you are missing three pieces of that puzzle that were all there last year. But the pieces that you replaced them with are going to be solid football players, in my opinion. I think that when it's all said and done, they're going to be upgrades across the board, and it's going to make our defense that much better. I mean, you're getting our young pass rusher in Phillips, right? Yep. You're getting a McKinney, who's been in the league a few years, and he's an outstanding linebacker. And then you're getting the best safety coming out of the draft last year. So, you know, it's got to be a positive thing as far as I'm concerned. As long as these guys are healthy, I think they're going to be upgrades at every turn.
Well, you hope so, right? I mean, that's, you know, that's why you have an off season, right? To improve your club and make decisions that are going to make your team better.
Absolutely.
We hope that's what they've done.
Yep. And the guys that are returning can improve as well. You know, the Van Ginkles of the world, those type of guys. Baker's on the contract now. Right. So, you know, Wilkins, you expect improvement from. So, you know, those guys should be that much better as well.
Well, you know, if we're going to have a successful season, I don't think there's any doubt the defense is going to have to lead the way, at least early. So it's important that they do hit the ground running and allow the offense some time to gel and figure out what they're doing well and, you know, being able to game plan accordingly.
Right. Absolutely.
There was a study by Pro Football Focus that determined that the Dolphins were the second most unique coverage team in 2020.
Hmm.
You know, everybody knows how the defense had that turnaround last year. They basically went in 19, they were 32nd in points allowed, and in 20, they were sixth.
Yeah, I mean, that's that we just talked about that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's quite impressive. And, you know, they talk about, you know, their unique use of coverage zero and coverage one behind it, because they were doing things behind it that made them unique, other teams were not doing.
Right.
So they were the second most unique team behind the Rams. So, and that's good because that makes it tough to game plan against you. You know, when you don't know what's coming, it's real tough to game plan.
Absolutely. And, you know, Xavien Howard and Jones, our two corners, give us the ability to do just that.
Which is why it's critical they come to some sort of an agreement with Howard.
Right.
At least I think so. I mean, other people may have a different opinion of that.
Well, I mean, people do, Mike. I mean, from things that I've read, you know, in regard to Dolphin fans. Did you have something else to say before I, you know?
No, go ahead, say it.
Okay, so, you know, you read people, you know, the comments that people post and whatnot. And, you know, the thing is this, is that, yeah, great, trade him. He's a selfish guy. You know, he's not thinking about the team. Let's get more draft picks. And, you know, draft picks are not necessarily the answer. Okay, you get two more draft picks. You see how these things unfold. You see how number one picks have unfolded over the years. They're hit and miss. There's no guarantees there.
They are hit and miss. That's exactly right. And statistics tell you that.
Absolutely. History tells us that, right? I mean, you know, you look at drafts year in and year out. You can go back, you know, 2-3 years now and go through the number one picks in the first round. And you'll be like, Jesus, where is this guy? Okay, I'd never heard of this guy. Whatever happened to him? Oh, yeah, this guy was a complete failure. Now, you know, obviously there are hits, but there's a ton of misses as well. So
it's about 50-50 in the first round.
Exactly. So when you read these comments and they talk about let's pick up draft picks and so on and so forth, you know, you're giving up a lot of talent for possibilities. And I'm not in agreement with that. I don't agree with the way things are being handled in regard to the contract and all that. And we've talked about this a couple times over the last few weeks. But, you know, it's not our money. You know, the Dolphin fans should not look at it that way. These guys, they need to get as much money as they can over a short career. And that's what they're doing. And there's a lot of ego involved on top of that. We talked about the fact that he's not even the highest paid corner on his own team, let alone in the league. And that has something.
I mean, think about it, Lewis. If you're the best salesman at your firm, right? You have the best numbers month after month after month, right?
Right.
And they hire another salesman that's making more than you, and he doesn't produce the way you're producing. How are you going to feel about that?
Absolutely. I mean, I agree with that, Mike, but when you sign a contract, which he just did, that these are possibilities.
Yes, the market is going to climb.
Right, in the future. I mean, and if you're not presented that by your agent, then that's your problem. Because when I sit down with my agent and I'm looking at this thing going forward, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what you always have to look at as well. It's not in the present. It's also going forward and where the league is going. And it's up to his agent and the people that represent him to present that to him and say, hey, X-Man, here's the situation. You know, this is what the Dolphins are willing to pay you.
We expect the cap to go up 10% next year, 10% the year after, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, his salary has to go up according to that cap escalation.
Right. And these are the guys that are going to be available. And this is probably the projections, you know, in regard to money that they're going to be getting. Now, are you comfortable with signing this contract? That's it. Now, if they didn't do that, if they didn't do their homework, then that's on him and his agents.
Well, he fired his agent.
There you go. Okay, so that's on him. You know, those are decisions that they made. So, yes, you can go back and forth with this in a million different ways, but the bottom line is that it's got to be solved. The Dolphins and him have to come to some kind of middle ground, which we've already talked about, because it's going to hurt the team. I don't want to see the guy leave. I don't necessarily agree with everything that's going on, but if I had a choice and I was the Dolphins, then I'd be doing whatever I had to keep him here because, as I mentioned, you know, draft picks are not necessarily the answer. The here and now is right now, okay? You know, the team changes every single year. And right now you've got your defense top six last year. I think they're going to be even better this year. You subtract X-Man from that equation and you add a couple of future draft picks, doesn't help us right now. Will it help us 3-4 years down the line? Maybe. But right now, your defense is in a position to be maybe one of the best, if not the best in the league. So you've got to keep that team intact.
Flores labeled it as a unique situation. I think it really is. Howard is the best player on your team.
Right.
If it was Marino, nobody would be saying, don't give him more money. They would be saying, pay the man. And I think you have to have the same attitude with Howard. And generally, I'm not. Generally, you signed a deal, you live with it. But in this particular case, I think the player is right. I honestly do. They right. should never have signed Jones to more money. And if they were going to, they should have known that it was going to be a problem for Howard. How could it right. not?
Exactly.
So the team made their bed. They got to pay him. I don't see any other way this gets solved.
Right. I agree. Listen, I understand both sides of this thing. I really mm-hmm. do. I think that the organization is trying to better themselves, but as you mentioned, how is he going to feel? Now, listen, the other factor, Mike, that we haven't talked about quite yet is the fact that he was coming off of an injury last year, so we didn't know what we were getting out of him.
Well, that's obvious, that's right. obvious.
But what I'm saying is that if he didn't have 10 interceptions last year and he had half of those, he had 5, okay? Mm-hmm. And he had an average season last year. Would we even be in this position? No. So when the Dolphins signed Jones, they were hoping that he was going to be the X-man
right.
that, and Mike, I'll be honest with you. He went above and beyond what we have seen out of him in years past. He had a season that a cornerback dreams of. And in today's NFL, you just don't see it because teams just completely avoid a guy on one side.
Right.
They don't
right.
even throw at him.
Right.
So, with all that being said, and again, I'm going back to, we can go back and forth with this in a million different ways. The team didn't know what to expect out of him coming off of an injury, and he just excelled to the extreme, and now they're going to have to pay the price for it. It's that simple.
Yep. I think it kind of is.
If they don't, somebody will.
Well, of course. I mean,
let me go ahead, Mike. No, finish.
I was just going to say that's how it ends. I mean, it either ends with him getting more money, or it ends with him demanding a trade, or it ends with him playing on the team and being a divisive influence.
Right. Okay. So now, with that being said, if it comes to a situation to where they have to trade him, that they're not going to pay him, so on and so forth. What is the proper compensation for him, in your opinion?
I would think at minimum a couple of number ones.
Okay. Gotcha. A minimum.
At minimum, maybe a player.
Right. Because we've seen in the past guys in the same situation like Ramsey a couple of years ago with Jacksonville, mm-hmm. they did get 2 number ones, correct?
Yep.
Right.
I believe so.
So I think Xavien is – right on par there. Now, I like bringing a player back as well, a quality player back. But again, the draft picks, you're getting 2 number ones, great. At some point, with all these number one draft picks that we've had over the last couple of years, there comes a point to where they all have to be re-signed. And they're all going to have to be re-signed over a couple-year period because we have an overabundance of them.
Right.
And that creates a problem. So
you keep the cream of the crop is basically what happens.
Yeah, but there, Mike, if we keep adding all these number ones over a couple-year period, there's a lot of cream of the crop,
You hope.
You would hope so, right? Because if you don't sign these guys, then they were a failure, which is going back to my first point. To where you're trading for guys that may not necessarily work out, right?
Okay, but yes. But, the reason you go after all those picks in quantity is because they're all not going to work out. In other words, the more stabs you have at it, the better your chances of hitting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're hoping for, You don't take all these number one picks to thinking that you're going to nail all of them. I just don't think you do that. I don't think that's realistic.
Well, I mean, if I'm going into a draft, Mike, I'm drafting with that mindset I'm not drafting with the mindset that
of course.
A couple of these guys are going to fail. We're just going to throw 3-4 draft.
You're taking players that you believe in, but things are out of your control. You know, things are just out of your control. Sometimes they just don't work out.
Mm-hmm. They, they're in a unique situation in regard to the amount of number one picks that they've had and going forward. I haven't seen a team with this many number one picks over a short period of time in a good while. I can't remember one.
I think the Jets are in pretty good position.
Yeah. I mean, overall, Mike, in regard to number ones, I'm not talking about the whole draft in a whole, because I know the Jets do have quite a few, but the Dolphins.
Well, I think they're going forward too, if I'm not mistaken.
This 3-4 year period, it's an extreme. And, you add two more to that. It's a lot over a 3-4 year period. And
Mayfield and Chubb and those guys in Cleveland, I think, were high draft picks in a short period of time. I think they had an abundance of picks.
They did. I think it was a 2-year period where they had a few too. But, we're talking about next year we have how many?
We have one next year, two the year after.
Two the following year, and we had two this past year and three the year before. So that's a total of eight over 4 year period.
We had two next year. We traded one back to move up for Waddle.
Right, right. But I'm saying over the 4 year period, eight number ones. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good amount over a 4 year period.
Well, you lost some pretty good players for that,
So. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. So with all that being said, I think that he has to stay on this football team. It's the here and now, right now. You've got your rookie quarterback going into his second season. So we've got two more years before we have to start negotiating with him, right?
Uh-huh.
And, obviously Gesicki and a lot of guys, their contracts are up this year. So you just don't know what this team is going to look like going into next season. You just don't know.
Well, what they say, they can't sign everybody. So, does Gesicki get re-signed? Or do they decide that he's going to be a financial casualty,
Absolutely. You got Fuller. You got Parker. I'm almost certain Preston is done after this season, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
So, you've got a lot of decisions to be made.
They did re-sign Baker, which helps on that end of the ball.
Yep. On the defensive side, absolutely. I think that Flores is a defensive guy, and he wants 11 solid football players out there on every single down,
situation. I agree with Flores there, because if you have a liability, the other team's going to find it.
Yep, absolutely. And I think
they're going to find it when you least want them to, Lou.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that he has put that defense together in a very good way. And I'll tell you what, I love the moves in the offseason. I think, they're going to excel. I've said it over and over again. We just got to concern ourselves with the other side, because there's a ton of question marks across the board, A lot of new faces.
Well, there's a projection today by Pro Football Focus, speaking of the other side,
right,
that talks about passing yardage. And I got to be honest, I looked at this and I said, I don't know about all this. But they have Justin Herbert with projected 4,675 yards. They have Joe Burrow with 4,537 yards. And they have Tua with 4,522 yards. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen, but that seems a little bit high in my mind.
For Tua?
Yes.
So they have him projected about 100 yards, throwing for 100 yards less than Herbert.
Yeah, 150-something, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know if they're factoring in. I don't know how they come to that. I don't know if they factor in the additions, the subtractions from each team. The team. I have
guess
no idea.
They have to, right? But
you would think.
I mean, they do their statistical analysis on college players as well.
Okay.
So it's not like they don't know who's coming in, for each team.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, to me, you know, they've ranked our offensive line pretty poorly last year, and not a lot has changed, at least thus far.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how do they take that into consideration, you know, do they? I really don't know how they come to their conclusions, but 4,522 yards to me seems a bit high. I do think they'd like to run the ball a little bit. You know, I don't think they're going to be a team that comes down and passes 40 times each week.
Yeah, which
you, Herbert's probably going to be doing, you know.
Herbert and Burrow probably. Yep. You know, yep. Burrow aired it out quite a bit, and he's got
well, he's got weapons.
He's got some pretty damn good receivers. I mean, I don't know, Mike. I mean, I don't know how they come to that number. It's all projected, and I'm sure they throw everything in a computer. You know, how the offensive line rates, the receivers, you know, what they expect out of each one, so on and so forth. But, you know, inevitably this comes down to Tua, right? And,
and the surrounding cast.
And the surrounding, yeah, but let's just talk about the three quarterbacks, okay? Uh-huh. And what we saw out of the three of them last year.
We all know that we don't compare favorably.
No, I mean, if you were to throw out what we saw last, right? You know, the three guys, and I don't see the separation being 150 yards over the course of the year right now from what I saw out of the three quarterbacks. And I'll just leave it at that. You know, can it happen? Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's different surroundings. I'm just talking about the quarterbacks in general and what I saw out of the three of them. And if Tua is separated by only 150 yards by the end of the season, then we got to be ecstatic about that. Is that, in my opinion, going to happen? No, I have doubts about that. But yardage does not mean shit to me, Mike.
It
means nothing. Winning football games is what we care about.
Yeah, you can throw for 120 yards. If we end up with the win, we're happy.
We're happy. Now, do we need him to play better than he did? Absolutely. We can't have him going out and throwing for 150 yards and not making plays.
I do believe he's going to play better.
Right.
I've said this before. I don't see any way he doesn't get better.
Right. What I'm saying, Mike, is that if he throws for 150 yards and he's playing well, I could care less about the amount of yardage. I care about how he's playing and managing our football team. The yardage doesn't mean anything.
Look, I remember, we had games with Marino where he threw for 180 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, and we won the game.
Right. And then we saw him throw for 450 yards.
And lose.
Didn't he throw for damn near 500 yards against the Jets and we lost up in New York game?
Yeah, that 51-45 game. Thanks for bringing that up.
Exactly. Well, it is what it is. The point is that yardage doesn't mean shit, you know, in my eyes. You know, it's a matter of him throwing touchdown passes at time or making plays at times when we need him to make plays.
That's it.
And I don't think he's ever going to be a Joe Burrow or a Herbert, you know, from what I saw last year. But as long as he wins his football games, that's all that matters.
No, I think he's going to be throwing quick slants to Waddle and things like that. I think they're going to be looking for explosive plays, but not necessarily bombs all the time, you know?
Right.
I don't think he's going to throw the amount of deep passes that maybe Burrow and Herbert throw. But hopefully these coordinators that are basically rookie coordinators know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's all we can hope for.
That's right? The part that makes me nervous more than anything, you know, because these coaches, I mean, they have experience, but they don't have experience doing what they've asked them to do on the pro level.
So, right.
You know, we have to see how that, because two guys working together, I mean, it can work if they really mesh and they have their responsibilities divided, but in unison, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then things can work, but it has not been done very often on the NFL level and probably for good reason. It's a very difficult thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. Because I don't care who you are, Mike. It's very difficult to sit there and get along over the course of a football season, the amount of hours that you spend with each other and you're trying to accomplish the same thing, you're not going to agree. on situations and maybe players involved and everything. I think it brings up a very interesting that's a really good point that you brought up, because it's a very difficult thing, right? What is the divorce rate in this country, right?
Pretty high, right?
It's
people
pretty
love
high.
Each other, right?
Exactly. And that's a woman and a man. You know, you put two men and you put, you know, in the same room, and you know, who's the alpha, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the way it is. That's just the way life is. So I'll tell you what, I mean, hopefully these guys are really, really good friends, because it's, you know, it's tough. You know, there's going to be a lot of pressure.
You're going to have your shouting matches, and that's fine, but you've got to come to a conclusion that works best for the team. And that's the challenge.
Right. Right. And I do understand what you're saying. Totally. It is a big question mark. You know, the personnel, you know, the offensive line, as you mentioned, there's question marks. You know, we've got to hope that a lot of guys improve. You know, past that, you know, we've got players at skill positions now that on paper, you know, some of them have proved it in the past. Some of them have proved it in college, which doesn't mean anything in the pros, but you can expect good things out of Waddle. You know, Fuller's done it. You know, he's proven himself as well, in between his injuries and his suspension. So they do have playmakers on that offense right now. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting thing once they put it all together.
Well, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I know generally you don't like your star players to return punts, because we've had this conversation before. I remember we had it with Jarvis Landry.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure we had it before that, maybe as far back as Clayton. Waddle is coming in as maybe one of the best college football return men last year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this team is going to use him in that regard? Do you think he's going to be the kickoff and punt returner?
If it was up to me, I'd say no. Okay. Let's go back to preseason a few years back with McMillan, right?
Right.
Now, I don't know if that injury affected the type of football player he was going to become going forward. He got hurt on special teams in a preseason game. You don't want to see that. Not from a guy that's in the top 10. Now, here's the trade-off, Mike. In today's NFL, kickoffs, okay, we put them out there on kickoffs. Most of the kickoffs go through the end zone anyway, right?
Right.
They've got it to a science now. If this guy is that good, he's never going to see the ball anyway, okay? If he does from time to time, I don't feel that the trade-off is worth it. Now, he can get hurt on any given play, but on punt returns, same situation. If he's out on the field, you know, they're going to try and kick it out of bounds or kick it away from him, whatever the case may be, if he is, in fact, that good. And these guys, he's the type of player, Mike, that is going to go full throttle. It's just that simple. That's the type of player he is. So, you know, do we want him out there in that situation? And is it worth it? Is the trade-off worth it for him to maybe get, you know, an opportunity here or there? Now, if you're behind late in the game and you need some kind of boost and you want to put him out there, absolutely. You know, hey, you know what? We can – God, let's get it. Let's try and get a quick score, or we need a, you know, change in field position. Absolutely. But for him to do, you know, to be returning kicks and punts, I don't necessarily agree with it, because you've invested quite a bit in him. And
so you wouldn't want to see it full time, but in certain circumstances, you'd be okay with it.
In certain circumstances, yes, where the trade-off might somewhat be worth it. But for him to be out there returning punts and kicks over the course of the game, you know, I just don't know. I really don't know. I mean, unless he's Billy White Shoes Johnson and he can.
Well, he was compared to Devin Hester, which is not a bad comparison.
Not at all. Not at all.
And the guy who did the comparison said, look, I don't expect him to be Devin Hester, but he has that potential.
Well, Mike, we don't want him to be Devin Hester. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Hester was a great return guy, not so good a wide receiver.
Right.
So I don't think drafted
him. He's not saying that. What he's saying
as a return person.
Yes, as a return player, he has that potential. His wording was he has the ability to impact two parts of the game.
Yes, I get that, and I honestly get it. But special teams nowadays, they have it down to a science. I mean, they look at these things. They're like, all right, you know, we've got to kick. If you're going to punt, you got to punt the ball to the left side. You got to try and get it out of bounds. They don't just sit back there and just have Ray Guy punting the ball 50, 60 yards anymore.
That.
You know, they do so much in regard to film work and
whatnot. Well, you still make it tougher for the punter, though, because now he's, you know, he's playing the sideline and he's doing things that are more difficult kicks.
Right. Agreed. I totally agree. But again, you know, we don't want to be in a situation where we get this guy hurt and we lose what, you know, our investment there. And again, he can get hurt on any given play.
Well, that's it.
But,
you know,
you're putting him out there and, you know, in other situations. And special teams, as far as I'm concerned, I think more guys, well, it used to be this way. I don't know since they changed things, but my God, and that's the reason they did change it to begin with, is because so many guys were getting injured on special teams, you know, in regard to.
That's true.
You know, so you got guys coming down 100 miles an hour on punts and whatnot. I don't want to see it. I just don't. I mean, unless this guy is just extraordinary, Mike, to where he can return five or six punts for touchdowns.
Well, maybe cut punts and kickoffs combined. You know, you get five.
Right. That'd be great.
That's it. You got to make your choices. I mean, you know, we missed the playoffs by one game last year. Maybe that return is the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. So you've got to make that decision carefully. And I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. I think, you know, you've got Igbinoghene who can return kicks. You've got Grant who can return kicks. There's other players on the team that can return kicks. Now, the question is, what are you leaving on the bench when you put Grant out there? What are you leaving on the bench when you put Igbinoghene out there?
Right.
You know, and that's what they have to decide. You know, how much better would he be than these other players, assuming Grant even makes the team?
Agreed. I mean, listen, I look at the Dolphins and – you know, there are times where they're on offense and I see Gesicki sitting on the sidelines. And
yep.
To me, you know, he's a guy when you're needing points that has to be on the field in certain situations. And there were times last year where he wasn't. Now, I don't know what their thought process was in regard to that. But back to your point in regard to, yes, having the best possible guys on the field, I think there comes a point, Mike, to where if you've got this guy playing 100% of your offensive snaps, which is what you want out of him, or at least way up there percentage-wise, right? I mean, nobody can play every single down because they do come out, you know,
right.
From time to time.
Right, and there'll be other – you may have two tight ends in on a particular play, yes, and less receivers or what have you.
But if you have him out there for the majority of your plays on offense, which you want out of your number one pick, then, you know, you turn around and you throw him out there on punts and kickoffs. He's out there for a lot of plays. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I wouldn't do it, you know, unless he proves to where every time he touches the ball, he's bringing it to the house. Right. Then you've got a situation where, you know what, we've got to put this guy on the field. If he's that extraordinary, then so be it. But if he's not, then – you know, Grant's on the football team. He's more than capable.
Yep. I mean, that's why the coaches make the big bucks, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Anything else you want to add today, Lewis?
No, I think we're good. I think we're good. I mean, we made a show here. Talked about
kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of.
I hope everybody enjoyed it. I mean, you know, there's so many things that we can talk about, but, you know, it's just that time of year where things are slow, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, you know, and a lot of things we've already discussed.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's the stuff that's out there right now. It's a dead period, and, you know, these things keep coming up. And, you know, I pay attention to the page here and there whenever I have time. And all of these things have been discussed. So,
yep.
You know, on the page. So, you know what? If they're on the page, then that means people are interested. So, if we have to revert back to a few, you know, a few different subjects that we've discussed already, then so be it.
You know? I realize that not everybody listens to every show, and you know there are going to be things that maybe we discussed that they hadn't heard before.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I do want to say is I find people believing everything they read.
Right, right.
And you've got to be careful with that because everybody's an expert today.
Right.
And there are people on Twitter tweeting things, you know, and they have no knowledge that is apparent to anybody. You know, they're claiming they're with the NFL. They're an NFL writer or columnist or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, they don't have a blue check mark by their account. They, you know, you read their profile, you can see they're a fan and they're not a columnist, you know, that's affiliated with anybody worth the credentials that they're trying to display.
Right.
So the point I'm trying to make is you got to be careful. If you see a tweet that looks like it's a really relevant breaking story and you don't recognize the name, you might want to do a Google search and see what's going on, because a lot of times it's BS and people fall for it. And you got to make sure that what you're reading, you're believing, and you're spreading is true.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've fell into that hole quite a few times, and
it's not hard to do.
You know, because you know you're reading something and you're like, okay, well, this has got to be coming from a reliable source. And Mike, sometimes even when it comes from a reliable source, it's all horseshit. I mean, you know, you look at things, right?
Right. But if Adam Schefter says something, I'm going to think that there's a pretty good chance it's true.
Well, yes. In that circumstance, yes. But I'm talking about even some of the beat writers and stuff like that, some of the things that they come up with, it's like they never develop. You know, they talk about this before the draft and that, and oh, the Dolphins are definitely doing that. And then they go in the complete opposite direction.
Well, that's because they're fed stuff that isn't necessarily true. You know, the team feeds them things because that's the word they want out there.
Right.
You know, before the draft, I'm talking about.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of that is camouflage for what they're really trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that goes with the territory. You know, what's the writer going to do? He's obviously going to report what he's being told. So, you know,
Mike, when it's all said and done, we all voice our opinions, right? You know, we voiced our opinion on Xavier Howard. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I mean,
we're going to be wrong. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
But exactly.
We're giving opinions. We're not stating things as fact.
Absolutely.
I'm not telling you for a fact that Howard's going to be signed.
Right.
Because exactly. I can't. I don't have that knowledge, you know, and if I did, I would say it. But the problem is a lot of people say things when they don't have the knowledge either.
Yeah. I mean, we all think that we know everything, and none of us do. I mean, that's why I say in my opinion a lot of the times, because it's my opinion. And, you know, I don't base it on anything I read. I try to avoid all that. I base it on what I see.
Well, you're in a position, Lewis, I don't mean to cut you off, but you're in a position where you're seeing these athletes all the time.
Right.
And you hear things and you're told things and you keep a lot of that to yourself.
Right.
Why do you do that?
I do it to protect the players, number
one. Of course.
And number two, you know, regardless of whether it's coming from the players or not, it's still an opinion on their part. You know, I mean, I talk to every player, football guy I run into in regard to Tua, and they all have different opinions. They all have different input on him. And the same goes with the team in general. You know, it always reverts back to the Dolphins. Anytime I sit there, because I'm curious, you know, I want to know what their thoughts are, guys that played in the NFL, guys that have coached these guys, guys that have sat next to them, you know, all their opinions on coaches, so on and so forth, because they have a lot more knowledge. They played the football game, and I try to take as much as I can from them, you know, but as far as like quoting the things that they say, yeah, I don't do it because, you know, you protect them. You don't want, say, you know, I don't want to go out there and say, hey, look, you know, this is what such and such said. And then next thing you know, it's out there all over the place. And then, you know, the player, you know, that I spoke to gets pissed off about it. And then that's it. You know, the conversations or whatever he may share will not happen again. And you don't want to ever get a reputation in regard to doing that. But the thing of the matter is this, is that we can all, just by watching and understanding the business and the game of football, we can all basically, without the influence of anybody else, anybody's articles, anything else, we can all basically form our own opinion. And that's what I try to do. I try to not have any influence from any of it. You know, I just base it upon what I see and my understanding of everything. But a lot of people don't do that, Mike.
No, but you know, you and I, we have an extensive history with football, okay? So we are going to form our own opinions. You and I may argue about them back and forth, you know, but we're going to form our own opinions.
Yes.
And something somebody says is probably not going to sway my opinion.
Exactly.
Okay? Unless they show me something that I didn't consider and I realize I may have been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that happens. But you know, bottom line is I'm usually pretty steadfast in my opinions, as are you. And that's fine. We have enough knowledge to think what we think. And generally, we both can come at it with a knowledgeable argument, and one of us will be right and one of us won't. That's just the way it goes.
Or both of us may be a little right and a little wrong. That's
exactly.
Just the way it is.
Right? Exactly.
There's not anything that...
Yeah, not everything is black and white. There is some gray.
There is a lot of gray. There is a lot of gray. You know, you and it just depends on how you look at whether the glass is half full or half empty, sort of thing too. So anyway. Yeah.
So anyway, that was a fun little distraction there. But we'll be back next week. Until then, guys, thanks for listening. Lewis, thanks for joining me this evening.
Very welcome.
And fins up, everybody.
Fins up, Dolphins.
All right, so that's our show for this week. I just want to remind everyone that the FinFans podcast is part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Sports Social Podcast Network.